Very unique. This is not going to be easy to figure out most unique song.
I got my winner already.
All right, lay it on.
I have one for me, but that's not the winner. I mean, You Are So Beautiful by Joe Cocker.
Well, what's so unique about that?
The voice, the lyrics. I mean, he says that about 17 times. That's all he says.
Yeah, but he's doing what 99% of guys have done. Tell their girl they're better looking than they really are.
Is that what he's saying?
Yeah, he's saying you're so beautiful. When in fact, she's probably just like a 6.5 out of 10, but he's acting like she's a 10 out of 10.
That's not a unique song.
No, well, that's the job of the guy. Tell the girl she's a 10 out of 10 even if she's not. That's the opposite of unique. That's what everybody does.
Kind of
a bleak view.
Yeah, really.
Isn't it?
But aren't I right?
No.
You're really not.
What's the matter with you?
These are the kind of things I do.
Maybe I was too excited about my ass.
Rube, this is where I got to tell you, because these guys know the story, but you may not. In college, I told a girl she was a 7 out of 10, and I meant it as a compliment, and she was all insulted. And I was like, if someone told me I was a 7 out of 10, I'd be doing backflips with excitement.
And that's like when someone's, you say somebody's a woman's age, and it's,
just saying.
1 year younger than she really is.
But, Ruben, apparently you're not supposed to say that. Well, that's a whole age.
Those are things you can't say. And you can't rate people to their face.
She was asking.
Yes, you're a 10.
She
period.
Asked.
Lie.
She asked.
Yeah, lie. 9.5 on a bad day, and you're a 10 on a good day.
Well, all I'm telling you is I meant it as a compliment, and she got all insulted. Well, don't ask my opinion. Let's go to the phones.
God, I'm sure you dated really well in college, didn't you?
I don't think you did well.
All right. Actually, one thing before the phones. I want to play some audio of A.J. Brown. This was an interesting answer last week. So you may remember a couple months ago after the Eagles had won, maybe it was about a month after that, he had a comment where he referenced basically just not feeling as fulfilled with the Super Bowl championship.
It was like 2 days after the Super
Bowl.
Okay,
that soon?
Yeah.
Didn't feel as fulfilled as he expected he would. And so last week when he was at the podium press conference, he gave a much more elaborate answer. And I thought this was, it actually resonates with me. It makes sense. Not me, the fan. I can understand an athlete getting to this point. But just listen to his answer as he elaborated on what he had said a few months ago.
Was that a surprise to you?
That was how you thought? Yeah. It did. Because coming into the league, we were taught we're playing for this reason. We're playing for this trophy. And once we got the trophy, and it was just like I thought everything would be fulfilled, like the hard work and everything. But no, it's the journey. It's the journey that matters the most and it means the most, because those are the moments that you look back on with your teammates and you're spending that time and you go on the war. You're suffering together and you're winning together. And that's the beautiful moments in it, I mean, the trophy, we can't take the trophy home, but it's cool that that's forever in the history books, but we're going to remember the moments more than the ring.
I know that might not resonate with a ton of people, but for me, it makes perfect sense. I think purpose is more important than accomplishment when it comes to the next thing, like tomorrow. And then the next day, and then you want to maintain purpose. You can't put accomplishment in your pocket and have it carry you to tomorrow, but you can put purpose in your pocket and have it carry you to tomorrow, because that's you got to do.
I'll tell you, 93 was
process,
something that everybody wanted to go back to. I mean, just
the 93 Phillies,
the whole yes,
okay.
The journey was really the coolest part of it, and I wasn't even there for like half the season.
Yep.
But to watch it all develop and be a part of it, I mean, it was really extraordinary. I mean, we didn't get to the final finish line, but there was a lot to it.
And what's your point as it relates to what AJ said?
Just feel like everybody was sort of pulling. There was one purpose in mind, and that was to win baseball games. That's what every person on that team's thought process was, to don't worry about yourself. Do what you need to do to be a winner.
Sure. John, what's your reaction to what AJ said?
I think it's informed by winning a world championship. It's exactly what you expect to hear from a guy who knows what works. And I do think that this team is growing in, just like the Phillies, they are growing in how to get it done. They have a greater understanding, I think the Phillies do, in how to grow, how to do that 1% thing. I kind of feel like these teams are bouncing off one another. These players are almost bouncing off one another, and I don't know if I'm imagining that or not. I know as a player myself, I would hear about the other teams every day because I was, you know, listening. I was watching.
Well, Allen Iverson was in town, so they were a really big deal.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. There is something that I don't know. There's something to say about a city that has great teams and players who respect one another and really pay attention to the success of one another. And I kind of think it's bleeding into each other. You know, these teams, they're improving. We're all thrilled with the way
it's two out of four.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm talking about the baseball team and the football team. Yeah. They are, you know, sort of, they're vibing with each other. They're bouncing off each other. They're improving. We all love what we're seeing. It's just a matter of time until, how do we get the other two teams to figure this out?
They got to get the right players. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's get to Greg right now. Greg, good morning.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Great, Greg.
Hey you guys, I don't call often, but listen all the time, and you guys have had some incredible shows. Last week's debate, I mean, they were tremendous. And I like the way you guys cross over and share the community of WIP with all of us. It's really cool.
Well, thanks. And I just want to give credit to our program director, Rod Lakin. That was his idea, and I thought it was really cool. And, you know, the only negative was that it you know, because you sort of generally pick a late spring, summer time to – when things are a little slower for something like that. Unfortunately, it was the same week as the Tush Push.
It was not so slow at all.
We had a brush fire that was bigger than a brush fire. But the point is, you know, that's an important part of a radio station. Ideas that can entertain you, Greg. And I'm glad that you were entertained, and credit to our program director with the idea.
He'll think of some other things, too, long days of summer.
Why they pay him the big bucks.
That's right. That's how it works. Hey, at least it's not during the pandemic anymore. We had to talk about sports for 4 months with no sports. I mean, that was the ultimate sports radio challenge.
Joe, I used to come in and stare at the screen and go, how am I going to do an update?
Right?
I mean, I just used to like sit there and go, I don't know what
it's outrageous. All right, Greg, what do you got on sports scene, bud?
You guys really cemented a lot of listeners, though, by getting us through that time. That was one in a million. But two things really quick. Hard Knocks, I don't want to upset the apple cart. I know they have, you know, the wherewithal and everything to be able to handle that. But just 2 years ago, they had some problems. And if it's not broke, don't fix it. And, you know, we find out enough between Elliot and everybody else digging into the Eagles that we can share in our community. I don't need national people talking on every show every day about something somebody said and was taken the wrong way. So I'd rather it not happen. I'll watch it and, you know, kind of leave it at that.
Okay.
So,
fair enough.
Ruben, I wanted to ask you on the Phillies, I've heard rumors that the Orioles are looking for starting pitching, and there's possibility of Mullins being dealt. You think it would be a good fit for the Phils?
I do not. And the reason why is they have that guy who's playing center field right now for Lehigh Valley.
Ah, okay. You want to hold the spot warm for him.
I don't think that's their issue. Center field is not the issue. Their issue is pitching, and more pitching, and then after that, try to get more pitching.
All right, Greg, that's an interesting answer.
Okay,
what do you got for a unique song?
what's it called? Bobby McFerrin, Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's a good one.
That's another, that is unique.
An uplifter.
That's another good answer. Don't Worry, Be Happy. Absolutely. Speaking of answers, let's get to the answer to the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin Chevy, your Corvette headquarters. Have you dreamt about owning a Corvette? Well, now's the time. Visit ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. All right, poll question. John, how do you think people voted on this one? Do you like the Eagles, how they will be featured, obviously, when the NFC East is featured in December on Hard Knocks? Now, let's go around the room. I'm happy it's here. Rhea, you are?
I love it.
Okay, 2-0. Yeah. James, we know you're a no. 2-1. Ruben, as a fan, you're 3-1. As a GM, you would say no. And John, you've said 4-1. Okay. How do you think people voted, John? Again, the question, do you like that the Eagles will be on Hard Knocks when the NFC East teams are featured in December?
I want to say 77% like it.
66%. I hate to do it to them. They're losers.
Yeah.
No way.
The majority, huh? 60. A decided majority. I like to see it.
You know that saying, James, the customer is never wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Customer's wrong this time.
Correct.
Okay. I mean,
hey.
I mean, what do we?
Me and the rest of the majority will just sit here with our opinion.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, fun. Sports supposed to be fun. I get more Eagles. I get them on a Tuesday night. I get them on a Thursday. I get to see Sirianni address the team. It's not good. That's nonsense. People are losers. It's got fun. Let's go to Dave right now. But look, that result doesn't surprise me because that holds basically to the same level we had a couple months ago when we asked this question before we knew the Eagles would be on Hard Knocks. I also think the Giants thing just a year removed is fresh in people's minds. If that hadn't happened, then I think the vote would be quite different, frankly. And I also think guys like Sirianni and Jalen have gotten to fans where you're now brainwashed into thinking everything's got to be so, closed up, but there's also entertainment in sports, and Iverson was an example.
There
Barkley
is?
Was an example. Yes,
what a notion!
Yes, like
wow,
there are ways to have fun beyond just the games, and it's not just about winning and losing. And anyway, all right, Dave in Wilmington. Dave, good morning.
You're coming to me now.
What's up, buddy?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Rhea, thank you for believing that I'm not a piece of crap last week.
What?
Where I'm driving around calling in the radio station with. Picking up kids on the bus. I was actually sitting in the parking lot while you guys had me on the air.
Nice. Well, yeah, we just wanted to make, even when you're with the kids in the bus, we just didn't think we should have you on the show anymore while the kids are on the bus with you.
But Rio was the only one that said, I think he's sitting in the parking lot like he always is.
I was really hoping.
I'm not total douche. That's an idiot.
All right, hold on. Dave, you got to watch what you're saying here. We're going to zip you right off. Yep.
All right, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
My thing was, I wanted to call about the Phillies, but Elliot brought up a really good point with the salary cap. Is it me, or is the NFL just completely against anything that the Eagles are smart enough to come up with?
It's possible. Like possible.
They create the tush push, and now they tried to stop that. And now they're on the contracts of how he's completely a master manipulating.
Yeah, here's the argument against that, though. They have, listen, this goes back 50 years with Pete Rozelle. They did want to have parity, and they did want to have, let's call it an equal playing field. And, there are owners that don't have the Philadelphia market at their disposal to make so much money. And then, therefore, they're not going to pump as much into their team. That is true.
That's weak, dude. There's revenue sharing. These guys make so much money. All these franchises are worth billions and billions of dollars. Like, this is nonsense.
I knew you would say that,
James. Just spend money. You own an NFL team that's worth $8 billion, $7 billion. Some don't.
No.
Bengals guy doesn't. Like, he doesn't spend money.
But he's still spending a couple hundred million. He might not be spending the extra.
But the point is, what he's making every year compared to what he spends is not commensurate.
Yeah,
like, that. It's just what it is.
I'm just telling you, the Bengals owner doesn't have the advantage.
He's pocketing his money.
He doesn't have the advantage of Philadelphia.
He has revenue sharing. Dude, the Philadelphia thing doesn't matter. Yeah. That's why a team like Green Bay in the smallest town in Wisconsin can be successful.
Yeah, but
it doesn't matter where you are in the NFL.
James, I bet you Green Bay is one of the teams advocating, let's change the rules.
Buddy, it's because they're cheap. It's not because they can't afford it. It has nothing to do with
John,
the
city.
John,
we got to teach Seltzer about economics someday.
I'm telling you.
Well, right,
there's revenue sharing.
A great owner.
Do you know what
revenue sharing is?
I do.
Okay. But
it's not all split.
The Bengals are worth $5.25 billion. He can spend money.
He could spend money. He could choose to, but it is. Listen,
You're always on the side of the billionaires, Mr. Billionaire.
I know you are.
And I'm not
a lot of
you know
teams
why?
Because
they made the investment. They get to do what they want to do. It's their
product. It's a shame.
Public trust
is what it is.
It's a public trust that they own.
It's a shame that it's mismanaged for the pleasure of the guy who doesn't want to spend money. And in many cases, you got players who are paying the price, like sitting around. Look at the Bengals and their receiver issues. Look at the Bengals and the way everyone hates the organization itself.
Well,
they've been a bad organization
for years,
no question. Yeah. And the Eagles, we should feel so good about the fact that we have players who like the organization, who appreciate the way the organization has treated them fairly. That's not the norm.
I think
we're a little bit spoiled.
Look, Lori's a great owner, and Howie's a great GM. I mean, Dave, give me a unique song.
So right before I do that, it's not what you spend, it's how you spend. And the Eagles spend wisely.
It's a little bit of both, but spending wisely matters a ton. But just to be clear, it helps to have a $300 million shortstop instead of a $10 million shortstop. I mean, it does help.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt.
That's right.
Unless he's bad defense like Trey Turner.
I know. All right, Dave, a unique song. What do you have?
Aerosmith and Run DMC, Walk This Way.
Yeah, that's another good answer right there. That was quite a compilation right there. I like that answer. All right, let's get to Bob. He's calling from Pensauk. And Bob, good morning.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well, Bob.
Philly's obviously playing great. And I'm just looking ahead. What are we going to do about this whole catcher's position? You know, Real Muto playing last year's contract, and he's not playing great. Marshawn can't hit, although he has a good arm. But I'm not sold that we know what we're doing at that position.
Here's my guess, and then I want to get what Ruben thinks. Here's my guess, Bob. My guess is after the season, they will try to get JT Real Muto back on a one-year deal.
Or two.
One. He will say no, and then they will have to determine whether to sign him to 2 years or try to get a different catcher. That's my guess of how it goes.
But do you want that guy for 2 years?
No, I don't think I do.
I think I am more willing to see where it goes in 2 years. I like JT more than I think
Ruben, can they
does.
Convince my him gosh. On a 1 year, or is that something he wouldn't likely accept?
Yeah, it's one of the things I was trying to get Chooch to sign, a two-year. And then we ended up having to go to three to get it done. But I like 2 years. I like 2 years. I got no problem with him. I know physically he'll be fine. He's too important a piece of the puzzle because of his defensive prowess. It's not the offense that I'm as concerned about. It's someone who can run that team, and they trust him. They believe in him. He knows what he's doing back there, and I would probably try not to go much more than two.
You can't give him more than two.
I think you got a kid, and I don't know when he's coming, but
Taid.
He looks like he's going to be a pretty good player, and he could be ready within the next couple of years. And that should be great timing.
So then you're thinking then that 2 years, so you're paying for the intangibles of his, you know, being able to command the pitching staff as opposed to hit the tangibles of him, you know, getting on base and being an elite guy that throws people out at second.
There's not a more important position on the field. There is not a more important position on the diamond than the catcher.
And he does still look like a great defensive catcher, right, Ruben?
Yes.
He's right on top of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he might need to be moved in the lineup.
Yes.
That's okay.
I mean, I just think he does.
That's okay.
I know, with utmost respect, I mean, he's batted into, it feels like, 2,500
double plays this year.
They're going to make
10?
That adjustment. Yeah. I think Alec Bohm's going to be slid forward.
Yeah, I think he should.
I think that's what's going to happen sometime soon.
Look, Bob, it's an interesting conundrum because with Schwarber and JT, both as free agents, you wonder, you know, how this goes. And listen, the Phillies have been down this road before. I mean, the bottom line is 2008, they win a World Series. Ruben, you still move on from Burrell. I think wasn't eight was 80 the last year for Luzinski? Was he on the 81 team? I'd have to look this up.
No, that was Gary Matthews.
Well, I know that was 83.
83, definitely.
But was I'm Gary saying, Matthews in 81? I think he was.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Was Bull... My point
I
is...
could be wrong.
You know, sometimes it's like I got to win it all to keep the guys, but sometimes you... Like, look at the Red Sox with Pedro. They won it all in 04, and they still moved off him. So, all right, give me an answer, Bob, for a unique song.
Okay, I'm not sure if this was said yet, and this one's for Rhea. How about back in those days, Rhea, during the Catholic school dances, when they started playing Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven... Everybody's dancing real slow. Then all of a sudden, goes into this fast rock and roll part, and now we look like a bunch of idiots trying to.
I don't remember that song being played when I was in grade school, but I don't think they would. But yeah, I don't. I absolutely. We were more like of the Air Supply, you know, era. So yeah, Zeppelin was not what they were playing at ours.
Well, Bob, I will say it was the last song at one of my proms. I don't know which one, and I still don't know why it was. It's a weird final prom song.
It's really weird. It starts very slow, and then it goes into this crazy rock and roll ending. Like, we're all standing like, man, it was working in the beginning, but now look at it.
All right, Bob, we got you, Bob.
You got to cut it loose, Bob.
Yeah, well, you know, he might be trying to make out with his gal, and then I got Robert Plant going crazy. That's, I just looked it up. Luzinski's last year with the Phils was 80. So it's interesting. Both times they won a title, they moved off of Stalwart in left field. Just for what it's worth. 215-592-9494. All right, more up ahead, phone calls and all this. We got to figure out the most unique song, and we've got some great answers. We'll play some of the audio of some of the notable answers that have been said so far today. We'll get to that and more. Phone calls and all this on 94WIP.
If you've spent time building the right roster and earned the fans, then you need the best technology to back it up. Get rid of those flimsy tablets and slow computers and step up to the game changer and point of sale solutions for restaurants and bars, PDQ POS. Imagine a seamless and lightning fast checkout experience for your customers that saves you money by cutting out those costly fees. Their state-of-the-art technology ensures that transactions are swift, secure, and hassle-free. But that's not all. PDQ Signature Systems is not just a POS system. It's a complete business management solution. Keep track of your inventory, easily manage your staff, and use real-time analytics to optimize your sales. Their user-friendly interface makes it simple for anyone to navigate. Join the thousands of companies that have already made the switch and upgrade to PDQ Signature Systems. Whether you have one restaurant or hundreds, PDQ will customize a POS solution for your specific needs. Upgrade to the professional point of sale. Visit PDQPOS.com. That's PDQPOS.com.
Yes. Very unique song. Hope you're having a great...
This song made me want to play saxophone when I was a little kid.
Pretty cool, man.
Yeah, so
pretty cool. You know, saxophone might... have won Bill Clinton that election in 92?
Yeah, it played a role.
I mean, played a role. It goes on Arsenio, plays saxophone. All right, let's go to the phones. A lot going on in the sports scene. Obviously, Phil's back at it, James, tonight against the Braves. Get us set with this weekend and what's happened. Who do we got, Phil's? Who do we got, Braves, over the next couple
of days? Yeah, so Ranger on the hill for the Phil's tonight going up against Spencer Strider. Our first time seeing Strider. He's back for the Braves. Came back recently. So we'll see tight pants Spencer Strider tonight. So that'll be a good
and
one.
And calves.
Yeah, and the mustache.
Does not miss legwork.
No. Tomorrow, Zach Wheeler versus AJ Smith Shavers. So that's obviously an advantage for the Phil's. He's a young pitcher. He's fine.
Okay.
And then Thursday, a real good one, lefty battle, Sanchez versus Sale on Thursday.
I mean, so these are great matchups.
Great matchups. Yep. Awesome matchups.
Phillies are at 8.5 games in front of the Atlanta Braves right now. That's tremendous. Game and a half up on the Mets. And right now, like from a standing standpoint, you would say tied with the Tigers for the best record in baseball. The Phillies a little bit better because they've played two less games. They have one less win but one less loss. And so from a percentage standpoint, the Phillies have the best percentage in baseball, therefore what you'd call the best record in baseball post-Memorial Day, which is pretty cool. Of course, they had the best record in baseball this time last year.
Literally 1 year ago, yes, exactly.
What a buzzkill after that whole buildup.
And then they went...
we're not going to London this year. So
no.
London's like soon, right? It was like around this time, right?
Yeah, it was early June.
Early June, right? Yeah. So we're right around that time when it all...
Yeah.
All went the other way.
It all went the other way. All right, so the phones we go. Let's talk to Ken in Cinnaminson. Hi, Ken.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Doing great, Ken.
You know, Joe, I would expect that you should take it as a compliment if somebody tells you you're a 7 out of 10.
So, oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Women are different, Joe.
They are. I've come to learn that over my years. When I was 18, 19, I thought, hey, calling you a 7 out of 10. I mean, Ken, wouldn't you take it as a compliment to be told you're a 7 out of 10?
I would tell somebody they needed to seek psychological assistance.
Exactly. So, that would be a tremendous compliment. Exactly.
You know. So just two things about the Tush Push and the Eagles real fast. First of all, I said like 3 years ago, I think was the first time I said, talking to you guys, that I really thought we had a special head coach in Nick Sirianni.
Yeah, you called it pretty early. Yep.
Listening to what he was saying about just immediately seeking out other championship coach, what he does, the way he did that, speaking to these coaches, it just confirms for me that this guy is just this guy's just special. Like, the only thing he cares about other than people in terms of professionally, it's just winning. It's just being the best you can be and bringing out the best he can bring out of everybody around him. And that guy, it's just special, man. And hopefully we don't miss it until it's gone, because he's just a special guy. And the Tush Push, Joe, you look, I'm glad that the Tush Push is coming back, but you keep saying that you think it's probably going to mean at least one win, if not more, to have the Tush Push. And I know you're not prepared to really answer this question off the cuff, but you know, the Eagles went 16-1 after the bye last year, won the Super Bowl. Is there any game that comes to mind in your head that they would have lost?
Can't do it all top of my head. I just know they get conversions first, second, and third quarter, where teams, including them, without a Tush Push would normally punt. And in a sport where you normally only have somewhere between 9 to 13, and 13 is a high number, possessions a game, normally you have like 9 to 11 possessions a game. If you can buy a possession by keeping the ball with that thing, I think over the course of a season, it nets you a win.
It's a massive advantage.
I think it's real.
I think that obviously what they would do is find a way to innovate some other way to continue to play the game. And
I don't know about that, man. I mean, one thing about innovation I've learned through the years is just because you innovate once doesn't mean you will again. Chip Kelly innovated in a really profound way. But once the league adjusted to that, there wasn't a next innovation. I mean, the next innovation is not always easy to come by.
Well, I mean, you know, it's a play that they run two, maybe three times a game. It's hard to imagine that would be the difference between winning and losing over the course of an 18-game
season. Just telling you, I've seen all these Eagles games, as we all have, the last 3 or 4 years, and I feel confident it nets them some wins. I do.
Well, I mean, the Lions go for it all the time on fourth down, too, and they don't have a Tush Push. If you've got that aggressive mindset,
Eagles would Eagles would do that, but it's the whole game script. It's what they do on third down when they run on third and five to get it to fourth and one, because they know they can convert it fourth and one. It's a whole. All right, I got to move here, my man. Ken, give me an answer for a unique song.
Has Bohemian Rhapsody been done already?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Well, then I'm going to go from a song that I remember back in my high school days, Fish Heads by Barnes & Barnes.
You got it, pal. Ken, appreciate the call. Let's go to Joe right now, calling from Haddonfield. Joe, good morning.
Good morning. How we doing, guys?
Super, Joe.
So I wanted to touch on the Sixers real fast. No, it's not really a popular topic right now.
No,
but,
go for it. Yeah.
I was talking to my dad and my uncle last night, and we had a pretty heated debate. I don't know if this report was true or bogus or not, but they were on Facebook looking at things saying – that the Sixers were reportedly going after Kevin Durant. Now, I don't know, again, if that's true or if that's untrue, but my dad wants Durant. My uncle does not. He thinks he's a locker room cancer, and I'm kind of torn in the middle, so I was wondering your guys' thoughts.
I'm anti, and I'm anti for one reason that honestly has nothing to do with Kevin Durant. I don't think the Sixers are Kevin Durant away from winning the championship because I don't trust Joel. If I had if I had Joel in his prime, I might be like, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, think of it this way, Joe. Here's what it would be kind of similar to. You might remember about 15 years ago, the Boston Celtics had the fifth pick in the draft. They traded the fifth pick for Ray Allen. They won a championship that first year with Ray Allen, with Kevin Garnett, with Paul Pierce. Similar to what the Cavs did when they had LeBron and they had Kyrie. They had the first pick, and they traded it for Kevin Love. They said, this is our chance right frickin' now. We're going for it. And they won it. Good for them. I don't trust Joel's knee to say, let's cash in the chips of a guy that maybe could be a 10 to 15 year Sixer for a guy that's going to be a 2 to 3 year Sixer. I don't think it's worth it.
Would you rather have Kevin Durant than Paul George, though?
Man. Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Imagine that. If the deal has to include Paul George, which is that's what you've heard with the rumors.
With the draft pick, though.
Yeah. But with the draft pick. Yeah, that's like, the key.
That's the
draft pick's the thing that I care about the most.
Me too.
But if we're talking about the very, very much here and now, it is potentially enticing the idea of a healthy Joel, Kevin Durant, Tyrese Matthews.
If he is. Yeah. I mean, but, you know, I mean, Joe, look, we'll see what the Sixers do, but with our less informed knowledge, because they have the new medicals on Joel, with us not having that information, I just find it implausible to say, let's trust him and trust his knee and try to chase this championship. At some point, you also have to start building for the future.
And I'm at that point right now with the Sixers because it's like we've seen, it's like they had Jimmy Butler, they had, you know, James Harden, they had, you know, Ben Simmons, whoever else you want to name, all these guys that came in and out and just, they just never got over.
Yeah, they
the
blew
hump.
It. They totally blew it.
And obviously, Embiid is. I think he's borderline, and I think borderline's a little generous. I think his career is, you know, almost done. And I'm kind of, you know, looking towards the future now too. And ideally, and I was telling my dad and my uncle, if you do want to trade for Durant, let's say, or any other star for that matter, most likely a team's gonna want that third pick in return, and I don't know if I want to give up that pick.
Well, that's the point. Joe, give me an answer for a unique song.
This one's a little different. This is, I'd say it's a little outside the box, more so for Philadelphia fans, Phillies fans in particular. How about Bryson Stott's walk-up song?
Yeah, it's definitely different. There's no question about that. So here's another Sixers rumor I heard, and this one annoyed me just on the basis of what it represents. So one of the things people are kicking around is, would the Sixers trade Paul George and the third pick for the Jazz's Lauri Markkanen? Now here's my problem with that, without even getting into whether I would or wouldn't do it. Markkanen, like, Paul George was supposed to be Markkanen. So like to dump Paul George's contract, I got to dump the third pick? I had to go through the whole season. Like, essentially, like, Paul George and Markkanen are supposed to be around a same-level player. Like, it's supposed
different
to be.
Different in age, though, right?
They are different in age. But, I mean, they're both considered, at least were considered, guys of that ilk. Not superstar or anything like that, but, like, really good players. So it's like, I got to go through the mud for a whole frickin' Sixer season to get the third pick, and now I got to trade it to dump
Markkanen.
His contract to get the same kind of guy. Eh.
Pretty much.
That puts me in a bad mood. And I'll tell you what puts me in a good mood. Well, we're not doing Time's Yours today. That does not put me in a good mood because we love Time's Yours. And, of course, Time's Yours brought to us by Xfinity Mobile. The sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. The Wi-Fi is booming. Unlock faster, secure speeds at home and on the go only from Xfinity Mobile. So we love Time's Yours when we do it, which, of course, is almost every day. But we wanted to carve out a little bit extra time today because, so, John, these songs that we've had, James and Justin DeRozio, working in the back there, has done a great job compiling some of the best songs, the actual audio. So we can get, well, James, what do you got, 10, 15 seconds of these things?
Yeah, about 20 seconds at most.
All right, so we got like 7 or 8 or 9 of these songs that have been said today.
Six of them. That we're playing audio of at least.
All right, so you take the lead, James. Which one do you want to start with?
All right, start off with Space Oddity, a little Ground Control to Major Tom.
This is Ground Control to Major Tom.
Concept of the song and the sound.
Now it's time to leave the capsule if you dare.
I put this pretty high.
Yeah,
I mean, that's,
I think it's a great answer.
This is way
it's definitely
spaced
tall.
Out.
Yeah, it's tall.
Yeah, very. I mean, the whole concept of an astronaut just saying bye-bye Earth, I'm leaving. Like, I'm not ever coming back. That alone's cool. The sound is cool. All right, I like that one. James, go ahead.
All right, little Bob O'Reilly by The Who.
Teenage Wasteland.
John, what would
you... Supposedly written about the dearth of teenage attendance at Woodstock.
Huh. I didn't know that.
I think, I didn't know that.
So, John, what would you say is unique about that song? Because it's great, but
what... That everyone thinks it's called Teenage Wasteland.
Yeah.
The name of the song is Bob O'Reilly. I don't even think Bob O'Reilly is said in the song at any point.
No, I think the end is the most unique thing, when it's just...
Or the beginning.
Or the beginning.
Yeah.
It's a unique song, and then it also has a unique aspect to it.
All right, fair enough. James, next.
All right, I think we all know what's unique about this one. We didn't start the fire. Rosenberg's H-bomb, Sugar Ray, Panmunjom, John Randall, the king
and I, and the catcher in the right. Eisenhower vaccine, England's got a new queen, Marciano Liberace, satire. Yeah, I mean, that's no question. By the way, sad to see Billy Joel has his health issues now.
Yeah, he's going to have brain surgery, they're saying.
That's awful.
That's not good.
No.
All right, so that's a unique song. Seltzer, next.
Bohemian Rhapsody. Mamma mia, mamma mia. Mamma mia, let me go. Beelzebub has a devil put aside for me,
for me, for me. This could win.
That's such a great song, and weird.
They didn't win, but I felt like it needed to stay on the board.
That's big.
It's that spectacular.
I read, you have any objection to that one? I mean, we'll see where the next two audio accompaniments go here, but that's pretty strong, right?
I was way ground control, and then I started smashing my head to...
Wayne's World style.
Wayne's World style, and I was like, oh, no, it's definitely that one.
I think so far, for me, that's in the lead. All right, James, what else you got?
Well, Rapper's Delight. Now, what you hear is not a test. I'm rapping to the beat.
And me, the groove, and my friends are gonna try to move your feet. Another great
See,
one.
I am one the mic, and I like to say hello.
Very, I'll send the black to the white, the red, and the brown, the purple, and yellow. But first, I gotta bang, bang, the boogie to the boogie. Say us,
jump the boogie to the bang, bang, boogie, let's rock. Made, I know. And the very first, one of the first big rap songs.
Absolutely true. Absolutely.
I memorized every single word of that sucker.
Love that song.
I did, man. I did. Yeah. What a nerd.
That's what you do. Hey, when La Bamba, remember when La Bamba was re-released?
Another one.
And, and it was Los Lobos doing Richie Valens' song. I didn't know what any of those words meant, but I was, you know, memorizing the sounds of the words
because
I wanted to be able to sing it.
You're right. All right, so that's very strong as well. James, keep going.
All right, two more. A little Bangles, Walk Like an Egyptian. All the kids in the marketplace say,
Egyptian. It was just different.
Yeah, it's weird. It's good.
I hate it.
Really? Why?
Really, I did. I there was nothing about the song I liked. I really did.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I like it too.
Okay. All right.
All right, one more. The Beatles. A little I Am the Walrus. Grab a lock, a fishwife, pornographic priestess. Boy, you've been a naughty girl. You let your knickers down. I am the Eggman.
What is that?
Well, that's
the
drugs.
The goo 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 Jew.
That's
part
drugs.
Yeah.
Clearly.
What is that?
I feel like I'm on drugs listening to it.
Ruben, do we ding the Beatles for being on drugs with a song like that?
We don't ding them, but that one's out.
How much music is on? Yeah. We'd start having to get rid of a lot of music.
There'd be no music left.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So, look, all of them in the running. Let's get some final quick answers here. You can still win the Phillies tickets. We're going to turn to right now a unique song. We move really fast. You got to beat at least, you know, all of them that you just heard to win. Robert and King of Prussia. Robert, what song do you say?
All right, so I have a question. I need a clarifier for this because I have a good song, but are we going based on strange or are we going based on unique game?
It's a combo of both.
Yep, unique and greatness. I'm voting more for uniqueness.
All right, uniqueness, greatest. If everyone wants to be free. That's what this country's all about. Leonard Skinner, Freebird.
Freebird.
That's a good answer.
Okay, fair enough.
Good answer.
Not going to vote for it, but it's a good answer. Gary in Vineland. Gary, I need an answer quickly.
I'm going to go with Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, the greatest band of the time.
Sure, no, I got you.
Another band.
I got you. That's another one.
Really good.
All right, one more final answer. Rick. Rick, I need an answer.
Hey, I saw this band Wednesday night in Nashville, AC/DC. It's a long way to the top. If you want to rock and roll, got to bring the bagpipes.
All right, my man. All right, Brett. Appreciate it. What are we doing here?
I think it's Bohemian Rhapsody.
Is awesome. Bohemian's a big one, but I like Rapper's Walrus. Delight. It started.
I like Rapper's Delight, but it's not. It's not weird enough, is it?
I think it's
kind of with
Rhapsody.
You on that, John. I know what you're saying. It just kind of sounds like almost popish now.
Yeah,
like kind of.
I think Bohemian Rhapsody is such a departure from everything else. But then I Am the Walrus, also bizarre. But I Am the Walrus, I don't like it as a song.
It doesn't have enough greatness
to as much.
Correct.
As the greatness of Bohemian Rhapsody, that song is unbelievable.
If you can work Beelzebub into a song, you've really won.
I think the Walrus is out because it's not great enough. I think it's between Rapper's Delight, and we need votes. Ruben, Rapper's Delight or Bohemian Rhapsody?
God bless. I'm going to say Rappers.
1-0.
Bohemian 1-1.
Rhea.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
2-1. Richie.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Okay, it's one. Bohemian Rhapsody is one with three votes, and there it is. Everyone have a spectacular rest of the day. Phils and Braves later tonight, obviously right here on WIP. Joe and you, enjoy them. They're coming up next.